You know, sometimes I wish that people would be able to hear us during the break, because we were just right. talking about recipes.
You're making my stomach growl over here. Talking
we were
about
talking about
spaghetti.
Recipes.
We were talking about it on our show today, on The Daily Show, about the spaghetti and meatballs.
You on The Daily Show, spaghetti
yeah,
and meatballs?
Because,
go ahead.
For the last,
share your...
pretty much all summer, every weekend, I've been cooking these huge pots of sausage and meatballs and spaghetti. And last weekend, and this weekend,
a cook,
last weekend and this weekend, I did not do the sausage and meatballs. We were at Eric's last weekend for the fight, and then this weekend, I just didn't. I didn't do it. I don't have the breadcrumbs, and I don't have the. I didn't have the stuff to make meatballs. And John, we opened the show today, and he said, you know, where's the spaghetti and meatballs? Yeah, he. Where are the promised meatballs?
That voice in the back was John, our program director and producer.
So during the break, we're sitting here talking about, John's talking about how he cooks his spaghetti and how he's going to cook a batch up for us. So I think we're going to have a big spaghetti weekend.
Well, you know, I got something better, guys. And I'm going to tell you this. Omaha Steaks right now, they've really, really stepped up for our Hagman listeners. You know, I like steak, Omaha Steaks. The perfect business gift is so simple to give, and it's actually a joy to get. In fact, I would even recommend ordering it for yourself. It's the perfect business gift. It's exactly what Omaha Steaks business gift deliver, by the way. You know, I say this a lot. We actually gave this package to one of our, somebody who's helped us out a lot. And boy, the phone rang. It was like the day that he got this, and I've gotten this, and I just love the packaging, and it comes to you. It's you know, frozen, and it's really well presented. It's a great looking package, and I'm proud to give it as a business gift, and I'm proud to receive it as well. But it's fun to receive. But the Omaha Steaks business gifts, they've got gourmet food gifts that appeal to everyone. Gifts offer a unique home cooking experience, and if you're like I am, I love to spend time with my wife. So sometimes, if I grill, she'll come out with me, or if she cooks indoors, I'll cook with her. Simple, very quick place to place large orders if you are looking to satisfy a business client relationship. They offer some great volume discounts, by the way, and free shipping on most packages. But right now, folks, you can experience for yourself what makes these business gifts so unique with an exclusive offer. You order the perfect business gift to try the Omaha Steaks gift experience for yourself, or send it as a gift, either way. But it's the perfect business gift includes the following. 4 5-ounce bacon-wrapped tri-tip steaks, which are just absolutely incredible. 4 4-ounce Omaha Steak burgers. I've never had a better steak burger than Omaha Steaks. 4 3-ounce gourmet franks. 2 4-ounce boneless pork chops. 4 3-ounce kielbasa sausages. Plus, listen to this, free shipping. And as an extra added bonus, 4 4-ounce caramel apple tartlets, which are just fantastic. Oh, man. I just love those. And just for our listeners, this exclusive package is only $59.99. Folks, go to omahasteaks.com, type HH in the search bar, and choose the perfect business gift. Again, visit omahasteaks.com, enter the code HH in the search bar to send or experience for yourself this exclusive gift package for only $59.99. You won't be sorry.
Each and every Tuesday in hour number 3, we are joined by Stan Deo. His website is standeo.com. Folks, go there on the right hand side of the page, to the right of the microphone, underneath the YouTube graphic, click the show images page. There you can follow along with all the images and research Stan has put together that he gets into talking about on our show. Stan, it's great to have you back on the show. I kind of want to open up with weather. We have this hurricane Irma that is in the Atlantic, the strongest hurricane in the Atlantic ever recorded. And I kind of wanted to, we can get into this anytime throughout the hour, plasma wake field acceleration and weather modification. Are we seeing this today with some of this weather?
Well, Yeah, I'd heard that there was a hurricane or something in the Atlantic. Yeah, I mentioned that last week that we could expect another one to head toward Florida, and it looks like it has.
You know, that's what I thought you said. But and I got an email earlier today saying, and I'm gonna send this to you. Stan told you so. It was like five words or four words. Yeah, so I just wanted to mention that.
Well, it's not over yet. You know, you've got another one falling along its wake, which may peter out over Cuba. But these things are occurring now as a super massive sudden sunspot, a big one on the sun, Earth-directed, has emitted a flare, a partial halo, they call it, which is going to give us some geomagnetic storms, probably G2, G3 type things over the next 2 days. This impacts our electric field, our magnetic field, and dumps this energy into the electric field, which then controls or affects our weather. And it's going to come in the form of adding heat to the planet, especially to the water and to the atmosphere, because of the current flow inside the planet when these electrical storms hit us. It's not a good time to be having one of those when you've got a hurricane that's the biggest ever recorded parked off of Florida's coast. People don't realize how closely connected Earth is and all the life on Earth is to what happens on the sun. This business about global warming being due to human activity mainly is rubbish. We've had these cyclical increases in heat and then ice ages over the age of the planet. But it was when we didn't have industry and people creating all this stuff. So although our activity is certainly adding to the warming, the overheating of the planet, it is part of a process that occurs because of the aging of the sun and our planet. Now, you mentioned something about plasma. What was your question on that?
Well, I came across something interesting called plasma wake field acceleration. And this is on a YouTube channel on the SLAC National Accelerator Laboratory. It explains how electrons can be efficiently accelerated to high energy using manipulating plasma. And we've had a lot of talk about the possibility for weather modification and, you know, even from cloud seeding to HARP being involved in the acceleration of some of these storms. And this is one thing I was very unaware of, Stan, that this plasma wake field acceleration. I didn't know if you had heard anything about it and how accurate it would be in stating that it would be able to manipulate weather.
Well, the sun is actually generating something similar to that, a plasma, which is being part of the solar wind, which is hitting us. Plasma is the fourth state of matter. It's right after gaseous stage. It's when the energy that is imparted to the atoms of a substance is so great that the electrons strip off, and you have the nuclei and the electrons all in a cloud. The electrons aren't orbiting a single atom. They're just going everywhere. And it's a state where new physics have been developed over the last 30, 40 years. Something that one of my associates and I down in Australia did a lot of study about was harmonic waves in plasma fields and, you know, what you can do with it. And it is definitely something that can affect weather and living, you know, tissue, whether it be humans or animals or, you know, plant matter. Now, whether we have the energy available in HARP-type structures or in other electronic structures that are probably lower frequency to do such a thing to really, you know, steer or create tornadoes or hurricanes, I don't think we have enough energy to do that. However, it is possible, theoretically, to generate a charged plasma wave on one of the sides of a hurricane, for instance, or a tornado, to cause it to start to deflect from its normal course. Now, if you look at hurricanes, for instance, because we got that on the news, in the northern hemisphere, you see them spinning counterclockwise. And if you can imagine in your mind, like the winds spinning counterclockwise around that hurricane, when they strike an obstacle like an island or a coastline, it makes the hurricane climb toward the North Pole along that resistance it hits. It just, you know, it skirts along because it's bouncing off of this matter, or, you know, the islands or coastline. In the case we got right now, Irma, this is kind of why I figured we were going to get in trouble here. I was using something called the null wind thing, which you can look at slide 40, and click on the text, and it takes you to earthnullschool.net, where you can forecast up to 4 days ahead for wind patterns. And if you click on the Earth button, which opens up a menu, and click Control Now, you can see where the hurricane is now and realize that those moving arrows are showing you the direction of massive wind currents, which can either impede a cyclone or hurricane or accelerate it. And sadly, what we're seeing here is this Irma is being accelerated, has been since last week, by these wind currents from North Africa coming across the Atlantic and spinning it faster, which adds energy so that when it hits, you know, Cuba and some of the islands between there, and, you know, like Puerto Rico and the hurricane now, that the energy it loses will be replaced by this. It, what would be good is if you had the winds that you can see in this null earth map now in the Pacific swinging up and against the coastline. If we had something like that that would cross over the equator and over the Central American chain there and impede the hurricane and kick it back away from the coastline, that would be nice. But we're not going to see that, I don't think. All the official forecasts now then do say that it's going to hit Cuba and then go the north part of Cuba, hit the tip of Florida, crunch up into it, probably veer off into the panhandle of Florida and hit Mississippi and possibly some in Louisiana. It's not slowing down, and this is kind of one of those perfect storm things. I'm looking at it now in that link I told you to go look at. And you can see that circulation is also being assisted by the other potential hurricane that's, you know, branched off and it's behind Irma. You can see the little loop of it forming there. And its wind flow is close enough to Irma to enhance. It's really a perfect storm. I mean, yeah, if you want to call it perfect, but it's, you know, the conditions are all exactly what you need to produce.
I sense frustration in your voice. You don't have a crystal ball, but what do you see taking place from this, like, massive disruption?
At this point, I think the governor of Florida was wise to already declare a state emergency a week ahead of time because it's coming. I don't see any reprieve from this one. And it's interesting, there was an article that Holly, or a video that Holly posted by one of these Christian evangelists from India, Sundar or something or other. I don't agree with everything he says is from the Lord, but he did mention that he saw that there were going to be two hurricanes back to back, that one would hit after the other one while we were just cleaning up the mess of the first one. And then as for cleaning up the mess of the second one, three earthquakes would strike the country. Now, I will get into those earthquake things in a minute because I have been looking at that and taking a fresh look at earthquakes in the sea and on land and why they occur where they do and the fact that they're occurring in these areas now, like the ones in Idaho, what this means. Frustrating. Well, only because I can't express my concern over this, I guess. I just hope that people are wiser than what we've been hearing from the people of Florida at the moment, where they clean the shelves of bottled water and this and that all of a sudden. Like, oh, surprise, Florida gets hurricanes in hurricane season. Let's clean out everything and you know, get all the resources out. People should prepare for these things long term, you know. In our day, you know, Doug, Holly and mine, yours, our parents, you know, made preparations for loss of electricity or power. You know, you had candles and flashlights. You had spare food and stuff, and you could cook on the barbecue. I mean, people did that. And up in Kansas and that area in Oklahoma, people also had tornado shelters. And we're going to see more of those, too. It may not be until first quarter next year, but these things are a sign of a massive shift, a sudden shift in our climate. It is climate change. It's just not local weather. And I personally feel that this is part of the judgments the good Lord is putting on us. And you'll see in the Show Images page today, I've got a link to Jared Kushner, you know, the president's son-in-law. And the negotiations he's doing over in Israel for the president to make a peace treaty, which may involve, it looks like, the partitioning, the dividing of Israel. And if that happens, I can almost positively guarantee you America's going to be split in half. Probably right down the New Madrid, if not there and over in the West Coast in Southern California, near Costa Mesa, where the San Andreas hits a very flimsy part of the
We never learn. We never learn. I you know, Stan, if you can address this, because who wrote the book? It was John McTiernan, I think, wrote the As We Do to Israel. That's not the name of the book. An Eye for an Eye.
Okay. I know what you're saying. Yeah.
I mean, we just never learn. I guess the whole thing is, people have this tendency, and I see this especially with the, obviously the atheists, but even some Christians deny this, we don't mess with God's title deed, that's all. We ought not to do that. That's just my thought.
Well, people are turning away from believing that the Bible is a true document and that God is real and this kind of stuff and that Jesus is our Messiah. They're turning away from that in droves. It is so sad because they are not being letting themselves be exposed to the truth and to understand these times in which we live. Without that understanding, you'll see them just going on their merry way, doing all the sinful things that they're doing in increasing amounts, and be like stunned mullets when the judgments hit our country and some other parts of the world as well, I'm sure. If you'll notice in the book of the Revelation of John, or to John, many of the judgments are tied to factors of the sun, except for like a meteor that crashes into the ocean and kills a third part of the sea life and stuff. But mostly you're seeing overheating by the sun, then you're seeing the sun go dark, then you're seeing drought and famine, and, you know, all these things are really kind of coming from the sun as an instrument by God to judge us. And it will pass, obviously, when the tribulation period is over, and we will have that 1,000 years of the millennial reign of the true king of this planet, you know, Jesus the Messiah. And during that time, I think a lot of these climate changes and catastrophes and the pollution that we've done to the planet will be rectified by his grace, you know, and we'll help do that. But between now and then, the bridge is chaos and a lot of death and unhappiness. And even in my own family, I'm sad, you know, when I've talked to some of my children here recently, that they're still kind of, I believe, but getting on with other things in life, they don't see the urgency of what's happening.
A lot of people, Stan, don't seem to have that sense of urgency. And, you know, whether it's the era that we live in with the cable news and the sensationalism of the news, it's almost like everything, you know, gets so hyped that when some real threat does come, it's, you know, people are just thinking it's par for the course because they believe, you know, that it's being sensationalized, that it's being hyped, or you get the opposite effect sometimes where you get that panic. But when you get this, a lot of people are asking, you know, what you talked about, the September 23rd planetary alignment to the eclipse, to these hurricanes, to potential earthquakes. And what you just laid out about the peace deal, the 48 on your Show Images page, Kushner told a boss that Trump would present a peace plan in the next 3 to 4 months. that specifically, that story is something we need to keep our eye on. Israel is always something we need to keep our eye on. And we need to understand that we do live in dangerous times.
You know, they took a poll, I think it might be in the same article, in Israel, the people to see, Israelis, to see whether they favored partitioning, you know, peace treaty or not. And it's now swinging to 53% of the population there support a peace treaty that partitions Israel and gives the Palestinians a separate country. They're cutting their throat. People tend to think that the Israelis are, you know, God's people, and they realize that and that they're trying to do the right thing. But when you go to Israel and mix with the people, you'll see a very confused population that's definitely not kosher. And, you know, the gay community there is just, in Tel Aviv, is just gross. I've seen some of them firsthand, you know, in the streets there. And it's going to be judged heavily. And I can see now then that the socialists, you know, the one-worlders, the, you know, call them whatever you want, are pushing the people of Israel to accept this kind of a quote-unquote peace treaty. I know this was coming. I knew it was coming. We've all known that. But it's coming so fast that I can't believe it takes my breath away every morning just to read the news.
Stan, what about Netanyahu? He's been going through some controversy in the news.
His wife was indicted or about to be indicted. Does that factor into any of this?
You know, I don't know. He's like Trump, you know, he's got stones being thrown at him from a number of different directions. And Netanyahu is, you know, I support Netanyahu, but I also know he's a man and is subject to making, you know, bad decisions or things of that nature. And one of the things that I'm concerned with in Israel as well as in the Gulf states, you know, in Saudi Arabia, is the building of smart cities. And there's two or three of them in Israel now, and a smart city is one that is a cashless society, one where you have a personal ID number and you can wander around your city, shop, you know, pay your energy bill, see what's on TV tonight, all that kind of stuff by using your personal ID and the scanners that are all over town. And this is leading, you know, it's leading up to the one world system where the Antichrist will have people swear allegiance to him and wear that mark of that ID on their hand, right in their forehead, and so that he can track everything they're doing and control them. The great problem with a one-world government and a digital system where nobody can cheat on the system and make you know, counterfeit money and stuff, the great problem I see is not with the idea of a global government and a fairness to all under one leadership. It's who the leader is or the leaders in the pact that's going to run that. Because they're human just like us. They're subject to the same frailties, mental and physical, you know, and emotional. And without a perfect being like Jesus is, you know, what is going to be run is going to fall apart because we're going to have buying groups that will tear apart the control of this new world order. So I'm definitely in favor of world order under Jesus, but not under the Illuminists and the pro-Satanists that are on the planet now. I got a little off track there, guys. Sorry.
No, that's all right, Stan. Well, and if Scripture tells us, we know that the devil's going to attempt that one world order, and the only thing that's going to stop it is going to be the return of Jesus, as it will bring everything to a head, including Bible prophecy and the beginning from the end. And
but you know, Joe, I'm with Stan. Just real quick, I just want to say this. The rapid nature of the unfolding of events, Stan, I could hear it in your voice, and maybe it's our age. Now, I know you're considerably older than I am. Not really, but, you know.
Yes, my son, I am.
but
yeah, go on.
It just affects. I mean, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, we knew this is coming, right? It's prophesied in the Bible, but man, to see it actually take place, it's like, wow, objects in the rearview mirror are closer than they appear, kind of thing.
Yeah. I noticed you were talking about spaghetti just as we started this hour. You notice images 37, 38, and 39?
Yeah, the spaghetti models.
Of the weather.
Stan, I got to ask you about this, okay? Because I never heard of spaghetti models until Hurricane Harvey, until I started watching Hurricane Harvey a few weeks ago. Has this been something that's new, or has this been around for a while?
Oh, it's been around. What they are is using a lot of compute power and putting various variables along the path of the object they're tracking, a hurricane in this case, showing if such and such happens, it could deflect it more this way, and if it doesn't, it goes the other way. And these are the areas that we think it could hit, so we need to prepare sort of until we get down to the, you know, the nitty-gritty. And I've been watching these spaghetti models for the last week on Harvey, or sorry, on Irma. They started out hitting North Carolina with center lines of them, and then they drifted further and further south to Florida, where, you know, I thought it would hit all along. It's because of this unusual circumstance. But I want people to go to those three links I've got there in the text part of it and save them in your browser, because these give you, especially 38, gives you access to all of the other weather models, you know, Fox News and Weather Geeks and all that.
And, Stan, we're up against the break.
Okay.
And, folks, we're looking at off Stan Dale's website, standale.com, spaghettimodels.com. It's a great site that I just started using myself for tracking Hurricane Harvey. And as Stan just said, it puts together all these different models, from the European models to the U.S. models to a whole host of different information. And we'll talk about this more on the other side. You're listening to this edition of the Hagmann Report with Stan Deo. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Visit HagmannReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
Shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. It'll blow you away. Absolutely, Eric said.
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagmann and Hagmann Report family. MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow. It's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
Hi, I'm Grace Gonzalez from Trained Close in the Woods. We are an American family-owned company founded and built on skills and knowledge gained from responding to 18 major disasters in the U.S. and around the world. We found that most people don't have enough food and water to survive, let alone any medicinals to save their life. We're offering 25% off our must-have American Heritage Remedies Kit. It contains 12 homeopathic remedies, a booklet that goes over everything in your kit, and our brand new book, Major Disasters Lessons Learned. Just enter coupon code HAGMAN. In life or a disaster, you must be able to take care of yourself. You may not be a medical doctor, and your grandmother and your great-grandmother probably weren't either, but they still knew how to minister to their family's health issues, and so can you. Check out our American Heritage Remedies Kit at www.trainclosenwoods.com. Your life may depend on it.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagmann and Hagmann Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
And as I said, when no one heard it, everything looks like noodles. Oh, they heard it? Thanks for telling me it was a hot mic. They're always hot, right? Anytime you're, that's the golden rule, believe me. If there's a mic in the room, consider it hot. If there's a camera, it's on, you know, regardless, right? All right, our guest, Stan Deo, standeo.com, man of, you know what? You can't paint. I mean, look, Stan Deo is Stan Deo. You go on any street in America and just say Stan Deo. They know exactly who Stan Deo is, what he looks like, and they know his reputation. I mean that. I'm serious. It's, in fact, just real quick, I gotta mention this. Somebody had come up to me, and this out of the blue said, "I love your show," recognized me, and I'd never seen this person before in my life, and said, "You know, one of my favorite guests is Stan Deo." As if, like, okay. But I thought that was, and I'm glad you have him on every week. It was really refreshing to see that. It was really refreshing that people understand that Stan Deo is really a part of our foundation, and his work is great. I want to thank Michael Thompson. Folks, go to HagmanReport.com. It's HagmanReport.com. Michael Thompson is a great guy. He's with WND. In fact, we had Charles Sasser on not too long ago, and he did this extraordinary interview. And I think I tweeted it out, over the weekend maybe. Crushing the Collective is the book. I've got the book. In fact, I purchased the book. I purchased it because, in fact, I purchased one for, yes, my neighbor that I talk about. Crushing the Collective. But he did just a great piece. It's on HagmanReport.com. U.S. One Step Away from Bondage and Tyranny. And, I gotta tell you, it's what it looks like. So, and catch the interview with Charles Sasser. Joe, I'm gonna kick it over to you so you can be part of this.
Yeah, before the break, we were talking about the SpaghettiModels.com page and the crazy number of different models and weather patterns and forecasts and outlooks that they have on this site. This is probably, Stan, one of the most content rich. They have just about everything here, from NOAA to the European models to all kinds of different options here for weather forecasts.
On Mike's weather site?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was very impressed with that. It's a go-to page for what's happening. People just, at least for weather, earthquake stuff. I don't know what his coverage is going to be there, but we'll see.
Well, you're our go-to guy for all of that. That and sun. Mm-hmm. And, last week, when you said, and I can't remember how you said it, but it was pretty clear to me that, watch out because another hurricane's coming. And I was reminded of that by a listener. So,
that was based really on using that image 40, the link down there to that null, the wind animation that you can go to real time. I find that a very useful tool. And when I, you can set it for different altitudes, surface level winds at 1,000 millibars up, a few thousand feet, then all the way up to 35,000, 40,000 feet where you're seeing the jet stream. But by sifting through those layers and showing what the wind is doing at different layers of the atmosphere, I was able to see that we have a bad situation developing, which could intensify and, of course, generate the wind patterns that we would need to move that hurricane along and accelerate it. But I had no idea it would be accelerating this much. This is just a surprise.
One last question about this. You hear the categories. How How far up do the, you get, somebody said a category 6, and I've never heard of a category 6, but does it go to like the 10 or something, or?
I don't know that the Saffir scale goes that high, but it, I'm sure they could, they could expand it. They've done that to earthquakes and tornadoes and hurricanes before in the last 10 years. But that's because these events are becoming, you know, so extraordinarily large compared to historical events.
Okay.
That's what they're saying, a category 5 to 6. Okay.
I mean,
it's technically possible, yeah.
Leave a mark. Wow. Okay. All right. Wow. And now, and I promise this will be my last question. The internal, this, forgetting about the tornadoes, could a hurricane of that size damage like the inland, not just the coastal, but the inland? And I understand the academic nature of this question, but are we looking at some pretty severe damage inland, like Orlando, Kissimmee, that in that area too? Is that possible if this went over that area?
Yeah, look, I forget what site it was on. I stumbled across it yesterday looking at this stuff, showing the damage of, you know, Hurricane 3, 4, 5 over houses and plant life and trees over land, should you get it. And the Category 5 was impressive because where there was a house and palm trees and grass, after it hit, there was nothing. It was just scraped clean. In the past, oh gosh, what, 5, 6, 7 years ago, maybe even longer, I was warning that as the weather and the climate changes increase, you know, to this horrific point we're coming to, that you're going to see things you've never seen before as far as what the weather does. And we're there now. And these horrific things, hurricanes can go overland, and I call them landicanes because they moved inland and kept going. And with something with that much force, you know, high-speed winds over 220 miles an hour, it will diminish its speed and its progress quicker once it hits land, but it'll do a lot more damage in the slowdown process as it rips up the turf underneath it. You know, someone was saying, is there a limit to, certainly there's a limit to the speed of the hurricane. There are certain points where the heating of the air itself will cause an expansion of the eye, and there's a lot of complex formulas for it, and people argue about which way it goes that way, and et cetera. But we can have a stronger windstorm than that, and with this influx of heat into the planet over the next couple of days, I wouldn't be at all surprised if we see massive increases in the speed and, you know, the damage from this hurricane over land. Now, it does look like at the moment that, from what I can estimate from my own, model, that Irma will go hit the tip, southern tip of Florida, and scoot up the west coast of Florida in the Gulf, and then curve up toward the left part of the panhandle of Florida, and dive into Mississippi. And then, of course, it'll dissipate some stuff over both Mississippi and Louisiana in rainfall. Oh, gosh. I still kind of am buzzed by all this because, as we were talking about, you look at it for years, you expect it's coming, but you didn't expect it to just happen in days, you know?
Yeah.
Wow.
Stan, what's the strongest hurricane you ever remember? Wind speed, barometric pressure?
Camille, right? I'll bet you.
I don't know. I wasn't here for some of that stuff. I was out of the country. The Category 6 thing that people are talking about, the winds are going to have to be greater than, 160 miles per hour, and I think we're going to see that. How far above that it goes, I don't know. Maybe it's a 5+, but we could really see 200 and something mile an hour winds in this. And as far as what has happened before, I just didn't study the hurricanes when I was over in Australia. So, I was doing more earthquakes, so I have to bow out on picking the worst one. But one end that had hit a weak spot we had at the coast there. And as I showed you last week and the week before, my son in Louisiana sent me the map of Louisiana, how much of it is sunk underwater on the coastline from the original, you know, state boundaries. And it's increasing. You know, southern Louisiana is definitely not a place to build long-term because it's going. And with all the sinkholes and stuff forming and all the stuff that corporations, electronics people and stuff that are dumping poisons and toxins down into those salt pits, you know, into the salt domes underneath Louisiana on the coast there, those are breaking up. And it's going to release toxins that you wouldn't believe. I mean, radioactive stuff, beryllium oxide compounds, all kinds of stuff, medical things. Because they all thought it was going to be stable there. Nothing would happen, but, you know, I guess we guessed that one wrong. Anyway, look up, for folks listening, if you want to look at the scales of hurricanes, the latest one, look for the Saffir-Simpson scale, S-A-F-F-I-R-Simpson scale. You can see it on Wikipedia in various places, and it'll describe, you know, what the conditions are to declare it a, you know, a 4 or 5. But I can bet you very shortly they're going to be revising that 5++ or something. I don't know if it tells in that article about the limit effective speed, high speed of a hurricane, but there are going to be some resistance factors that, you know, we have to factor into the equations. And I think I'll leave that to the experts on that. If it gets that bad, people will just be getting out of the way. They won't worry about the equation or the category number, except for insurance purposes, I guess. But anyway, guys, that's it.
Yeah.
Now, earthquakes. A couple, well, several things on earthquakes, actually. Slide 42. If you look at that, this is, if you click on the text underneath it, it gives you the article that goes with this, telling about how they've increased the likelihood of a quake, serious quake in Southern California in the Los Angeles region. If you click on the image and blow it up, you'll see that there's a white box, rectangular box, around L.A. and slightly south of it, encompassing the San Andreas Fault and various other, you know, like Hayward and other faults that are parallel to it. And there's another box up near San Francisco, a different set of parallel fault line, but, you know, still incorporating the San Andreas. What they're saying is they've realized now from studying the data the last, you know, few decades that these fault lines can simultaneously erupt or, you know, convert to movement and earthquakes. You know, one will trigger all the others parallel to it with cross fault lines connecting them. So it's not just one. They're saying there'd be cascading effects of boom, boom, boom like that. Now, an interesting one to watch is the one down in Costa Mesa, which is just outside of L.A., just kind of a suburb almost, just south of it. You see that rectangle around that area. That area is connected to the San Andreas, that red brick-looking line going down toward the end of the state. You'll see that it goes down toward an area that looks kind of flat and not mountainous into the Salton Sea area, where it is now joining up with another fault line from Mexico called the Imperial Fault Line. And they thought they would stay separate, but they're starting to join. And that region of the land there, Southern California there at the state boundary and down into the Baja area and the Salton Sea area, obviously still in California, is very thin and flimsy. I've noticed for some time that you get a Richter 4 or 5 in the Salton Sea area there. It's not, you know, really a sea, it's a salty area, but it's very thin membrane part of the California landmass. And for a long time, you'll get ricocheting, like tympanic, your drone vibrations of that surface after the major quake, much longer than you would think you should, which brings to mind what's happening in Soda Springs in Idaho with the swarms that are going on there, the swarm going on there. It's this aftershock, aftershock, aftershock. Here in California, I think we're going to see fairly soon, even just using this article and the cautious warning that USGS gives, that we're going to see some action there very shortly. And it doesn't need much to trigger it. And we've been seeing other things along mountain ranges and faults that connect in a big kind of oval going through Cascadia, up through Yellowstone, back around through Idaho and back down to California. You can see that in most of the earthquake maps. You can see the outline of that region I'm talking about, which we'll look at in a minute. But it's worth, if you're in California, it is probably worth your time to get prepared for loss of power, communications, and transport. And, you know, be ready. Don't be like the Florida people. When it hits, then go try to prepare and, you know, kick people out of line to get food supplies and whatever. It's just not going to be time to do that. Now, I want to go up to slide 43. Now, if you click on the slide and enlarge it, I took this today of the Soda Springs area in Idaho where all these quakes are occurring as aftershocks. And you can see that Soda Springs is in a little kind of valley, and there's a mountain range to the northeast of it and to the southwest and to the west. Why are these aftershocks occurring in the mountainous region? You'd expect these things to be in a flimsy area like the Salton Sea, that tympanic vibration, you know, the harmonic reaction. But no, we're seeing these all over that range of mountains. Okay, so go back over to slide 45.
Okay.
Now, that shows the last 7 days of earthquakes there in Idaho at Soda Spring. And it shows you where Yellowstone Park is up to the northeast up there. It's labeled in the picture. Interestingly, that the area where these quakes are occurring is in a number of ridges that have been formed by something pushing the land forward a long time ago to form these built-up ranges of mountains. But where that blue line is, it's a low altitude area, and it's the pathway of the former eruptions of Yellowstone as the mantle of the Earth moved over this weak spot in the magma, you know, underneath our craton. It erupted. Now, that's the conventional wisdom, but I've been looking at something different about this because if you get out of that slide now and go over to 44, that's a three-dimensional or a topographic map showing Soda Springs earthquakes. You see that the yellow arrow points at that little orange group of dots that we're looking at today. But the blue, shades of blue, show the path that the eruption of Yellowstone has formed as the surface of the Earth moved over that hot spot or weak spot underneath us into the magma core or magma shell of the planet. So it started out all the way over to the left there.
So, Stan, what are you saying with the earthquakes and the looking at this image 45 with the previous eruptions of Yellowstone? I know that in the weeks past you showed us how the magma underneath Yellowstone has moved. Is this showing the earthquakes are moving along with the movement of the magma?
I think that they certainly do have it's cause and effect. I think that it is causing some of the earthquakes for sure in strange places all around that series of blue eruption points. Now, what this is telling you is that the United States here, the Western, well, the whole North American continent, started out with Yellowstone being over the lightest blue on the left there, where that blue arrow is straight down. That's where Yellowstone started. And then as the American continent moved to the west, we started seeing subsequent eruptions along that line. Now, I noticed something that I discovered when I was looking and discovered the Garden of Eden and Atlantis and all that kind of stuff. Looking at the formative period of the Earth's surface when everything was a lot more fluid, you know, perhaps before we were even seeing humans on the planet, but, or, you know, in this area for sure. It's like the Earth's surface was a mud patty that had wrinkles in it caused by various things. And if you go to, let's see, where do we want to go? Yellowstone. Let's look at image 47. Look at image 47. Now, I've talked to you before about ancient asteroid impacts on the surface of the Earth at shallow angles while it was still in its early formative stage. And they made pathways in the sludgy, kind of muddy surface of the planet that later were bent and curved as the Earth cooled and continents, you know, the world, Pangaea to start with, started to restructure itself and cool down. Now, in this particular image at the top part, you see a red line I've drawn along a low valley carved out place. Now, that red line going up to Yellowstone, but I found at where that circle, the red circle is, I found evidence of a rim of an asteroid, well, crater, but where it shoved up the muddy surface of the Earth, you know, the loose dirt and everything, to form a rim as it came to a stop. I think that a long time ago, a large asteroid did come down, hit, and follow that red line path, and scraped the surface so thin there that that's why we started having eruptions, you know, following that line that we saw in the last slide. I just scoot down to the bottom part of that image, and you can see it better with what the Scripps Institute gave me to image this with. The light green lower altitude impact area on the upper left of that line, and then up into the high ground as it shoved stuff ahead of it and then came to a stop. Which,
well, Stan, that looks,
you know,
it looks uncharacteristic for the mountainous regions that surround it. I mean, we see up to the northwest, we see some of the low-lying areas, but the path that is, it looks dug out.
It
was dug out through mountains.
And you know, I could be wrong, but this is lateral thinking. Go up to slide 50, right above that. We've talked about this many times before on the show about the El Tanin asteroid path that has officially been declared an asteroid impact path of low angle, you know, shallow angle, and it shoved the surface and the seabed up to form this crater rim. And you see two or three earthquakes, well, maybe five or six that are there at the moment in this shot I took today. And that shows you when it finally came to a stop, it pushed up an embankment with a kind of circular, semicircular form to it. So using that footprint, that method of determining an asteroid impact, I looked at slide 49, and that's down, you know, where a cluster of earthquakes is always occurring down there in the islands, in the Puerto Rico region, and also some over in Central America, you know, the very thin area there. You can see, if you look at that image, you can see underneath that cluster of quakes in the Puerto Rican area, that pushed up rim, something hit, just like in Argentina, in the south part of it, and shoved the surface of the Earth over there to form that, and made a weakness where, of course, we see earthquakes primarily in the Puerto Rican area, but we also see them in Central America in that area from another one, or either that same one, right where Ecuador is there in Panama.
Yeah, and Stan, what is that that connects South America to Latin? Is that the Yucatan Peninsula there, or what's that called?
Central America, you got Panama, you know, Costa Rica.
Because if that is an asteroid, if that is an asteroid impact, it looks like it missed. Maybe it took out some of that land. Maybe there was more land.
Yeah, I think it did. Actually, I think there are two. I think one hit on the south side of that Central American landmass, and another one hit either that or it went underneath that landmass and scooted over to form the track we have now. I don't think it was one. I think it was two. And I haven't even included the ones in Chile and Peru, the big one from the middle of the Pacific. But look at slide 51. There's a much better example. That's just north of Australia in what's called the Band of Sea. And you can see where that orange earthquake and two yellow ones there, they're right on the rim of another one of those pushed up rims as it came to a stop. And that particular one is the remnant of the asteroid impact that I think caused the Great Flood of Noah and shoved India up into China to form the Himalaya Mountain. I've only put three of them up now because I didn't want to spend a lot of time talking about that one. But there's another one over in slide 46. And these things are important to consider because if America's going to split in half, it's going to go where we've got some of these stresses that are embedded from the time these asteroids hit. And I found a long pathway which you can, I've put the latitude and longitude so you can go do this yourself on Google Earth. But it's the Appalachian meteor impact that hit up just north of Washington, and its path has been distorted a bit, but it came to rest right there, as I show you in the image, and you can look at the top and bottom image. The bottom image in pinks and greens is the Scripps Institute topography model, showing you that definite, snake-like path to where it came to rest down there. And just left of that, that compression is part of what formed the vertical crystallized dikes that are the New Madrid fault line. So it, they say it was an unfinished formation of a separate continent, and it didn't finish, so we're joined, East and West America along the New Madrid, were joined by these crystallized things that were a function of a failed attempt to fracture the thing. But I think it was a compression from this impact that formed those, and certainly the good Lord may use that to judge us. And if you look at the top image, which is actually the satellite image, you can see this even clearer. There are at least four or five of these major impact areas around the planet I've found. And in other days and times, if we had serious scientists in the mainstream, we would be investigating this together, because I'm positive that what I'm telling you is right, that where these things have scooped out the surface of the Earth, we have weaknesses. Volcanoes and earthquakes occur along the sliding impact path. Do you see what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely, and it's very fascinating, Stan. And I love looking at this kind of stuff. And I'm just wondering if you sit around with virtual reality glasses looking at Google Maps for anomalies, you can point out. But no, I mean, this is it's amazing. This Appalachian meteor impact, that's pretty crazy. I've never heard anything like that. But you can see.
I think there's probably another one under the Great Lakes, too, but that's for another discussion.
Okay.
Now, before we get off the air tonight, I know we're getting close, your listeners should go to slides 52, 53, and 54 and download them now. We're sharing information there that we don't want to get lost.
Oh, okay. This is to do with the flux capacitor. Okay.
And free energy.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to do that.
I've got several teams working right with me, but I'm telling you right now that a flux capacitor is a kind of battery that we're going to be using with the new atmospheric converter. It's also a drive engine for a small anti-gravity craft. And by reversing the current flow, the direction of it in that flux capacitor, we either make it heavier or lighter. And for energy storage around your house, we reverse the polarity so that it's going to be heavier. You don't want it floating off. But it will store a lot of energy. For instance, in a 30-foot craft in the project that I was with Dr. Teller, you could take a Volkswagen engine, tiny little engine, take a 30-foot diameter craft with these coils, pump them up, and store the energy out in the field. And you might take an hour to do it. But imagine the energy in that motor running for an hour, like a generator, stored in the field, and it's there until you take it back out.
Fascinating stuff, Stan.
Wow.
I just saved those three images on my computer.
Wow.
And we'll have to get into that more next week. Thank you so much for your time. As always, Stan, it's been great. A whole bunch of great information. And
good,
hopefully,
man,
next time we come on, we're not talking about Category 5 destruction anywhere in America.
I understand.
Amen.
Lord, help the people that are in the path.
Amen. Our prayers are out there. All right, sir.
All right.
Thank you so very much. I want to thank John, Eric, Joe, Jackie, everyone with the Hagman Report, and also our listeners and viewers. God bless everyone. Good night.